Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in our hearts and lives today. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to move us on in your purposes today. Thank you, Lord, that you want to be glorified in our midst as we receive your word, respond to your word, process your word in our lives so that we bear abundant fruit for your glory. We give you all the honor and the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Okay, let's be seated. We're going to do what we did last night and just have the word and then have plenty of time to meet with God, because that's what this week is all about, really, the meeting with God. We should need less word and more time to pray as the week progresses. Now, when we started the week on Monday evening, I said that the Lord had shown me that he wanted to raise us up to another level in these five ways: holiness, faith, love, worship, authority, and power. The first four he has already been addressing and will continue to address today. And we're seeing already how these four things sort of interweave. They all relate to one another. And the authority and power, of course, comes out of those four things. This we are going to leave. Probably we'll get round to the authority and power tomorrow, once God has continued to do what he wants to do in the first of those four ways. Notice also how there's been more and more scripture. Last night we went through a whole lot of scripture, and during the time when we were before the Lord, a lot of scripture is being read prophetically over us. You've heard me say before, 95% of true prophecy is scripture. The Holy Spirit taking the word of God and declaring it to us. And when he declares it to us, as happened last night, it has much more effect than just hearing it. And so we're just open to God, not only for him to bring his word through me, but as you are before the Lord, listen to the voice of the Spirit, because he will be declaring to you more and more scripture so that you can bring your life into line with those scriptures that he puts before you. This is fulfilling the promise that Jesus gave, that the Holy Spirit would take those things of his word and declare them to you. Right, this morning we're in Colossians chapter 1. I hope you're seeing by now that what we're talking about this week is not something extraordinary. We're talking about going to a higher level, but actually all we're doing is going to the level of the New Testament. This is what the apostles were teaching. This is what the people were hearing and receiving. This is what they were being encouraged to live. Even the church in New Testament times wasn't always doing that, which is why in many of the letters, Paul, Peter, and others are having to bring correction into people's lives. But nevertheless, the gospel they were proclaiming, the word of God that they were proclaiming, is what we're hearing this week, nothing less than that. Now here, we have verse 15, a declaration about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Now, I explained to you yesterday, we had that, you know, the cross here on the earth and Jesus in his risen body and then reigning in glory in heaven. Saw that yesterday morning. And I explained that God's throne is in the highest heaven, the third heaven, as it's known. So here on earth, there are all kinds of authorities, principalities, and powers. But here in the heavenly realm, over the earth, there is another whole spiritual creation where there is still conflict between the powers of darkness and the powers of light. The powers of darkness that are seeking to influence the earth, the powers of God that are opposed to that. So Paul says in Ephesians that our battle is not against flesh and blood, not against people, but against the authorities and powers that are operating on the earth, but also in this spiritual realm, in this heavenly realm. But all things were created originally by Jesus for good. It's only when evil came in through Lucifer that creation was tainted, both in the spiritual realm and here on the earthly realm, because he was given leave to go to and fro over the earth to test the hearts of people to see whether they would really love and serve God. So verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he may have the supremacy. Now, this is what it's all about, really. That in our Christian lives, Jesus Christ has the supremacy in all things. So he wants to be Lord in every aspect of our lives, in every part, in every department, if you like, of our lives. I'll come to that a little later. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Okay, so while Jesus was here on the earth, all the fullness of God was in him, even within the limitations of his humanity. And what you see, therefore, being outworked in his life, is the fullness of God, which is why he did nothing apart from the Father, said he could do nothing apart from the Father. And everything he did was in submission to the will of his Father. So verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So this reconciliation work is happening here on earth and in the heavenly places as well. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I've told you many times before that wherever there is true revival, the blood, the cross, is always absolutely essential. People sing about the blood, they worship God and praise God for the blood, because everything is accomplished through that sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Now, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Evil behavior comes out of the way you think. We saw yesterday how important it is for our minds to be renewed so that we think according to the truth. We think according to our position in Christ. We think according to what God has done for us. Verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Why? To present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. You see, most Christians avoid this word holiness, probably don't even understand it, whereas it's absolutely key, it's crucial, it's central to the whole gospel. The whole gospel is about God working in our lives so that we may be presented to him holy, free from every blemish and accusation. Without the blood of Jesus, that would not be possible. So, you know, even when we lead people to the Lord, we should make clear to them not just what God wants to do in the immediate, but they are committing themselves to a lifelong service of the Lord, living in relationship with him, because salvation is a process. We have been saved, we are being saved. The sanctification that we talked about yesterday, we are sanctified, that's our positional sanctification, but we are being sanctified, we're being made holy. That's the progressive sanctification that's happening in our lives now as we submit ourselves to God and as we allow him to have his way in us day by day. But the whole purpose is that when you come before the Lord on that day of judgment, you will be presented to him holy, blameless, and free of all accusation. Hallelujah. Not just because of what God has done for you in your position, but because you have worked out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have lived according to your position in Christ. Which is why Jesus was saying to the disciples, continue to live in me. It's not just that you have been placed in me and given this position. Now you must continue to live in me and I in you. Because otherwise, what happens? Well, according to Jesus, the Father prunes the fruitless branches out of the vine. Make of that what you will, but the best thing is to believe it. Okay, now, there's a condition here, which is why you see immediately under the holiness we have the word faith. And the condition is this: to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith. Faith has given us this position. Faith needs to continue to work in us so that we live according to that position. Can you see that working out your salvation is just as important as having the salvation? Hello? According to Scripture. So, if you continue in your faith, established and firm. Now, we've saw that the nature of that faith is to believe that you are who God says you are. You have been made holy, you have been made whole, complete, perfect in Christ. That is your position. So, God is wanting you to live according to your position, to think according to your position. We'll come to this a little later if we read on. But it's going to be essential for us to live by faith in what God says he has done for us, in who he has made us, because we are in Christ. So he wants to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Remember, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Amazing how many Christians don't even consider holiness in their lives, and yet without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay, so if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out for the gospel. What is your hope? Your hope is this, that as you're working out your performance, you will, in due course, enter fully into your position. That is your hope. Your hope is that which God has done for you, placing you in Christ, in heavenly places, seated with him in glory. Your hope is that you will therefore go to be with him in that place for all eternity. That you will pass through the judgment and you will be declared on that day holy, free, blameless, and free from all accusation because of what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Now, if you're free from all accusation, it means the devil's got nothing against you, because of the way you've lived. And okay, when things have gone wrong, you've immediately sought the Lord's forgiveness and been restored to him. But the devil on the day of judgment has got no accusation against you.
Amen? Okay. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. This is the gospel. I won't say annoys me, but it sort of upsets me when I hear people say, you know, did you preach a gospel message? They mean, did you talk about somebody giving their life to Jesus or just about the cross? Listen, whenever you preach the New Testament, you're preaching the gospel. Every verse is part of the gospel message. The gospel message is not just about giving your life to Jesus, about being born again. This is the gospel. What we're talking about this week is the gospel. And what every preacher is called to do is to preach the whole counsel of God. As Paul is going to make clear, he says this several times in his letters. He says it also when you remember in Acts chapter 20, when he met with the elders from Ephesus at Miletus, and he said, I have never held back from preaching to you the whole counsel of God. I have said to you whatever you needed to hear. And I've always sort of aspired to that. That's what I want God to be able to say about my life and about my preaching, that I preach the whole counsel of God and never held back from saying anything that God's people needed to hear. Because we don't preach for popularity. We don't preach for what people want to hear. We preach what they need to hear. And so what we're talking about this week is what we need to hear. The trouble is for most church people, they never have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Because a 20-minute sermon on a Sunday morning, once a week, which is the diet that many people have, cannot ever really proclaim the whole counsel of God. It's just not possible to do it in that time. And, you know, one 20-minute sermon that they listen to, they've forgotten what the 20-minute sermon was the previous week. You cannot communicate the gospel like that. There has to be opportunity to teach and to expound the word of God. Teaching meetings are very, very important, which is why it's so important for you to be here at the college. And the various times of teaching and courses that we have in the church are absolutely essential if a church is to prosper. We should never, ever turn our noses up at doctrine and say, well, doctrine is impractical. All the practice that we do needs to come out of our doctrine, needs to come out of the right thinking, the right believing, the right speaking, and therefore the right living. Are we there? Okay, so So this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and to which I, Paul, have become a servant. We'll read the whole thing. I'm not going to comment on all the verses, but it's good just to hear it. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, which is the church. So Paul knows there's going to be cost, there may even be suffering, there may even be affliction of various kinds if we're going to be faithful to God in communicating the gospel. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. There you are, he's saying what I've just said to you. This is the responsibility, not only of an apostle, but it's the responsibility of any preacher, to present the word of God in all its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to God's set apart people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we live in Christ and Christ in us to enable us to live the sanctified life, where we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That is the job of every preacher, to aim to present everybody perfect in Christ. So it's very important, isn't it, to make sure that people have the revelation of their position, that they are sanctified, that they are made holy, that they are made complete, that they are made perfect, but that now they're living out that sanctified life in this progressive sanctification we talked about yesterday, so that we may be presented holy, without blemish, free from accusation, perfect because of all that Jesus has done for us. Doesn't mean that we'll walk in that perfection during this life, but it means we're aiming for perfection. We're aiming to live the godly lives that God wants us to live. So to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which he so powerfully works in me. Then he just talks about Laodicea and so on. Verse 2, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I'm absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are, and how firm your faith in Christ is. Everything is dependent upon this faith. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. So now we have again your position. And performance. Your performance is dependent upon your position. You believe that you have the position that God says you have, therefore you are able to live in the power of the Spirit in the way that is possible, because you are living in Christ and Christ in you. You can continue to live in him because God has placed you in him. That is your position. So, just as you continued to just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. So here, your performance, Paul is saying, right, how do you work this out? Well, first of all, you have to be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So you are walking by faith, day by day. Every day is a day of faith, trusting in your position in Christ, understanding that that position is greater than anything that can happen in the natural level. That the spiritual is supernatural, and the spiritual is greater than the natural. So you're drawing upon the spiritual truth, the spiritual life, the spiritual power that God has put into your life to enable you to live out the gospel in the natural realm, and to overcome everything in the natural that is a contradiction to the gospel. Have I made that clear? You have the power, you have the authority. This is where we begin to get this fifth thing. You have the power and the authority to enable to overcome whatever comes against you because of your position in Christ. All authority that God gives is derived authority. We don't have any authority of our own, but that authority which he gives us. And the authority that he's given us comes out of our position in Christ. So we have the authority to speak in his name, to act in his name, to pray in his name, to do everything in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, it's interesting, you see, that Paul says here that you are rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. What does he say to Thessalonians? That in everything you are to give thanks. In everything we give thanks. Because even when things come against us, we are thankful to God for our position. We're thankful to God for our sanctification. We're thankful to God for the power and the authority that he gives us in order that we may deal and cope with the situation and overcome whatever needs to be overcome. We'll talk about how we overcome more tomorrow, as I just said. Okay, so see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. In other words, don't listen to those who preach reason rather than faith. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now, that's repeating what he said in chapter 1 that we read a few minutes ago, that in Christ is the fullness of God. So in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given that same fullness. 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 You don't need to pray for it, you just need to thank God that you've been given it. So what you're doing here as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling is you're downloading that which he has given you. Because of your position in Christ, he has given you the fullness of his life. Now, of course, if you don't believe he's done that, you won't be able to live in the good of it. Because, as Paul has just been saying, the whole of this performance, the whole of our walk, is by faith. And faith isn't believing God to do something in the future. Faith is believing what he's already done in the past and applying it to our lives so that we can cope with the present situation. Hope relates to the future, not faith. Okay, so for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. So this fullness that you have been given will give you all the authority and power you need for your performance, for the outworking of your salvation, for the living out of your Christian life, for the glory of God. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at still? So in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Remember, you were crucified with Christ, so you no longer live according to the sinful nature. Not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And we saw that yesterday. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. That's your position. He forgave all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So, you know, here's the earth and here's the lowest part of heaven that I was saying, where there's these spiritual powers still at work in heavenly places, but they're disarmed. Hallelujah. Jesus disarmed them on the cross so that we can have exercise the authority and power over them. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink and all these sort of religious stuff. Do not let anyone, verse 18, who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Don't listen to all the rubbish that's on the internet. You can get all kinds of foolishness there. Just believe the word of God. Amen. So let's just go down to chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Remember, we are living in the risen Christ. So since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. Now, I was quoting Romans, where Paul is saying the same thing. He's repeating here, because there's only one truth. So he repeats many of these truths in different letters. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So you're setting your heart on your position. You're setting your mind, he then says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So you set your heart on your position. You set your mind on your position. I am thinking of myself as the person that God has made me. I am living in Christ Jesus, risen, ascended, and glorified. I am seated with him in heavenly places. He has made me holy. He has made me complete, perfect in his sight, free from accusation and without blemish. That's my position. So now I'm going to live out my life according to that position. I set my heart, I set my mind on those truths. Otherwise, you see, a Christian is just condemned to constant failure and will think of himself as unholy instead of holy. And if you say you're a saint, they'll laugh at you. What a silly thought. But you are a saint because you have been made holy. You have been made perfect forever. Hallelujah. So then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, which is where we started on Monday evening. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, I found this the most effective way to bring people to Christ, to really bring them right through so that they're disciples from day one. I don't believe God's purpose is for people to be converts and then become disciples. They're supposed to be disciples from day one. Okay. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Your life is now. Say now. Now. This is not talking about the future. When you go to be with God in heaven, it's talking about now. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Can you try for a moment to put yourself into the thinking of Jesus while he was here on earth? Here is the Son of God who has come from heaven, who is holy, who is perfect, who is complete in himself. And he's living in this world where there was just the same kind of corruption, violence, immorality that exists in our society today. It was all very, very similar to what's happening today. Living under an oppressive regime, the Roman occupation. And he is having to live out the gospel in this context, in the midst of all these things. How do you think he thought? What would have been his attitude? I think the first thing that he would constantly remember is, I don't belong here. I belong where my Father is. I belong to the place from which I've come. And I'm here because He has sent me, and I'm here to work out His will, but this is not where I belong. Now you see, what Paul has been saying is our attitude needs to be like that. We do not belong. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are having to work out the life of the kingdom here on earth, but this is not where we belong. We belong to God. We belong to His kingdom. We belong to heaven. For a season, for a few decades, we have to live out that life here. But then when we die, we go to where we belong. We get released to where we belong. That we don't actually belong here. We do not belong to this world. We read it yesterday in the scripture. But you see, this is the way we've got to think. We've got to set our hearts and minds on things above. So why focus on the things of this world when we don't belong to this world? Now, you know, there's an accusation that goes on in the world that Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. That is a lie of the devil, because the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you are. See, Jesus was heavenly minded, but look at the good that He established on earth. And how many millions, even billions of people have salvation because He was heavenly minded while He was here on earth. And this is what He was teaching the disciples. When He prayed for them, you know, in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he was asking for the Father to protect them because they were still in the world. They didn't belong to the world, but they were still in the world. And while He was with them, He had been protecting them. Now He was leaving them, so He prays, Father, protect them, keep them. And He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But still they are in the world. So it's true for us, isn't it, as disciples of Jesus, we are not of the world. We are still in the world, but we don't belong to the world. Therefore, we don't belong to worldliness. We are not to love worldliness. We are to love the people in the world, but we're not to love worldliness. We are not to be worldly minded, but heavenly minded. Not to have hearts that are set upon things of this world. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. When He comes, you will come with Him. Or if He comes while you're still on the earth, He will gather you up to be with Him. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put them to death. Because these are things of this world, and you don't belong to this world. So these things don't belong to you anymore. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Notice, you've got to put them to death. You've got to rid yourself of these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. What is this new self? This new self is the person that has this position in Christ. You have put on that new self. You are living your life out according to the new self that you now have, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. It is being progressively sanctified to become more and more like Jesus, which is what we were talking about yesterday. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. See, holy and dearly loved. You know, when I pray every morning, God addresses me in a number of different phrases. My beloved child, my beloved son, sometimes my beloved and holy son. Because that's what I am. That's what God has declared me to be. It's not talking about performance, I'm talking about position. See, according to your position, you're dearly loved and you are holy. You have been sanctified. And all the time, because Paul wants people to live by faith, he is pointing them to their position. Yes, they have to put to death this and deny that and all the rest in order to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. But they're never going to be able to do that if they don't believe the position that they have. And therefore, he addresses them according to their position. We saw yesterday that even though the Corinthian church was going through such terrible problems, I mean, it was absolute chaos. But when he addresses his first letter to them, he says, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. He addresses them according to their position, not according to their performance. So you see, you are sitting next to someone who is holy and dearly loved. Now, the point is this, that if we are to love one another as he has loved us, then we love each other as those who are holy and dearly loved. If that's how God loves the person that is next to you, that's how you've got to regard them. Holy, therefore you honor them, and you honor the anointing on their life, and you desire the very best for them because they are dearly loved. Now, I believe in having fun, but not being stupid. Because we can indulge, if we're not careful, in stupid, unholy, ungodly behavior. That's not glorifying to the Lord. So, we have to regard ourselves as holy, but we have to regard each other as holy. As those whom God has chosen, called, set apart for himself, as those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow, it's amazing, isn't it? Therefore, as God's chosen people, you're chosen, you're holy, you're dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Right, put off all those negative things, all those sinful things, but put on, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, this is what you've got to understand. You did nothing, absolutely nothing, to acquire that position. It is the gift of God's grace to you. Here, you have to do things. Through dependence upon the Spirit, but God is not going to do these things for you. He will do them in you and through you, but with your cooperation. So there's nothing automatic about a person's performance because of the position that they have. And as I said yesterday, it's ridiculous to think that God is not concerned about the performance because of the position he's given us. The whole of the New Testament is full of what we're to do at the level of our performance. So, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, all attitudes of the heart. Bear with each other. That means put up with each other. Even when others seem to be a pain in the neck. They're only a pain in the neck because momentarily they're not living according to their position. Just as you are sometimes a pain in the neck when you don't live according to your position. So just bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Never take offense, because offense divides. Forgiveness unites. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. There it is again. See? This thankfulness. Every step of the way, there's thankfulness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let the revelation of your position dwell in you richly. Let what God tells you you must do to live out your salvation, to live according to your position, let that word dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here it is again, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In everything, give thanks. But here you see, verse 17, I often quote because this sort of sums up in one verse what our performance is all about. That in everything we do, in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we do it all according to our position. Whatever we do, whatever we say, is coming out of our faith that we are who God says we are. And because he has given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, to enable us to live this sanctified life, we can depend upon him to enable us to do and to say everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. What that means in practice is we say what he would say and do what he would do. And you see, this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit lives in you so that in any situation that you're placed, if you listen to what he's saying, he will enable you to say what Jesus would say in your situation. He will show you what you are to do because that's what Jesus would do in your situation. And you see, this is the point, that Jesus is in your situation because he lives in you and because you live in him. So it's like the Holy Spirit is living there within you in order to show you, okay, this is what Jesus would say, this is how Jesus would pray, this is what Jesus would think, this is what Jesus would believe, and this is what Jesus would do. And the more sensitive we are to the voice of the Spirit, the more we will actually, therefore, not only say and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, but we will be revealing him. We will be witnesses of his life, his love, his power. So although we have to do all this stuff, we do it all in dependence upon the Holy Spirit who lives within us. He is the key to your performance. Without him, the Christian life is impossible. The easiest way to understand this is the only person who has ever lived the Christian life here on earth is Jesus Christ. He lived it perfectly. The only one who can live the Christian life now in the way that God intends is the Holy Spirit. You can't, but he can. And he lives in you to enable you to live as fully like Christ, as fully as possible the Christian life. But you can only do it by dependence upon him. So the Holy Spirit is not an option. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential that we do all things in the name of Jesus, and therefore we do all things in the power of the Holy Spirit. In one of my books, I put this very simply in the way that the Lord taught me. I can't, but he can. If I do, he won't. But if I don't do, he will. Meaning, you see, that I'm not going to do anything in my own strength, but I'm going to trust him. So I was praying as we began the meeting this morning, knowing I've got nothing to say. But Lord, you just say, you just speak, you just declare what it is you want to say through me. I'm just your servant, I'm just your mouthpiece. Holy Spirit, come and own the meeting. Holy Spirit, come and with a spirit of revelation. Holy Spirit, cause the faith to rise within us. Yes. Now, in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of faith. He's the Spirit of love. He's the Spirit of worship. And he's the Spirit of power. We have received the Spirit. We want to keep our pots under the waterfall so that God keeps pouring his Spirit into us. We're open for that. We're not just wanting an experience of the Spirit every day, but we just keep our lives open to the inpouring of the Holy Spirit, to the voice of the Spirit, to being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, and therefore to the enabling of the Spirit. So he enables us to do what we could never do in our own strength. Now, last thing that we'll just focus on this morning before we pray. I've told you in the past the difference there is in Scripture between salvation and reward. You may remember that what I told you about reward is we get the reward for what actually God has done. What God has done in and through us. So, God wants us to live at a higher and higher and higher level, approximating more and more to our position in Christ. He works that in us by the Spirit, transforming us into his likeness and ever-increasing glory. This he does by the Spirit, the Word says. But we get the reward. Your entrance into heaven is according to your position. Your reward in heaven is according to what you have done, according to Jesus. So praise God. I'm in a place near the throne. Anybody else? There's a lot of people there. I'm on. So, anyway, This is the gospel. Nothing less than this. This is the good news. That God has made us holy, called us to be holy, and has given us the spirit of holiness to enable us to live in holiness, and therefore to live by faith, to live in love, to live a life of worship, a life of worship. Remember, worship is not just praising God or presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Holy, holy, holy. You have a holy body because God set your body apart when he came to live in it by the Holy Spirit. He said, this is now my temple. Treat your body as holy. Are you there? Because God regards it as a holy temple of his holy presence. Okay, so look after your body because it has to be a living sacrifice to God. Wants fit and healthy bodies. Yes? So praise the Lord. Now, how do we respond to all this? Well, we began to respond last night. We praise God, we give thanks. And then there was one of those sudden transformations last night where one moment we were praising him and exalting him. The next it went absolutely silent. But, you know, it was a different kind of silence. We've had some silence in the last few months here, but it was a different silence last night because, you see, you know, I've told you that when you get on your face before God, don't go silent. Keep pouring out your heart to him until he speaks to you. Then you shut up and you listen. But last night, in that silence, it was a God silence. There wasn't movement. Nearly everybody was on their faces before God. And I don't know about you, but I was hearing God. God was speaking to me clearly, personally, all the way through that silence. I didn't need to say it very much. I was just listening to what he was saying. This is encounter with God, you see. And he wants us to spend more time encountering him. It won't always be exactly like that. Various ways in which we encounter him. But the encounter always comes out of our worship. That we worship him, and then he responds by revealing himself in different ways. That's how he revealed himself last night. He might reveal himself completely differently today. But what happens is that we are impacted by what he does. And it's the way he impacts us and imparts to us, like that pot constantly open to the flow of the Spirit. That's what transforms us. That's what changes us. So that then, as we live out this new life in the world, we do so differently, and we bear much more fruit. We're much more effective in our witness, in the way we love, because somehow we are impacted more by the holiness of God, by the perfection of God, by the completeness of God. What I'm saying is that as we meet with God like that, we actually become more like him. You see, some people, because they don't live in the revelation of the truth, they think, well, I'm so unholy, the holy God wouldn't want anything to do with me. What they fail to realize is that if the unholy touches the holy, The unholy is made holy. The unholy can't make the holy unholy. But the holy makes the unholy holy. Have you got that? So we come with all of our imperfections, knowing that we are holy in Christ, but we don't work that out perfectly. But the more we encounter the Holy One, the more our unholiness is transformed by His holiness. So what does that mean? It means, Lord, I want to meet with You again and again and again in Your holiness. And that's why the Scripture says, come right into the Holy of Holies. When you worship, when you pray, come right into the Holy of Holies with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. That's where you belong. You don't belong to this world. You now belong to God. You now belong in the Holy of Holies. That's where you belong. You don't belong just in the holy place, you know, where you can worship and sing songs and know His holy presence. That's not where you belong. You belong in the Holy of Holies, where God has His throne. And so you're bidden in Scripture to come right before the throne of grace. And there you won't find rebuke, you will find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. What's your time of need? Your time of need is to reveal more of Jesus, more of who you are as the holy, set apart, perfected, whole, complete child of God that He has made you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you see that everybody needs to go to Bible school? They do. That's not a joke. It's actually true. Everybody needs teaching, don't they? Come on, let's just thank the Lord. We go through the gate of thanksgiving into the courts of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Cut about the electric bacalacita, the sundar the electric bacalacita. Thank you for my new life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your enabling. Thank you for your loving patience and kindness. Thank you for your gentleness, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Para pasata bali aleto bakala sita di sandali aleto bakala sita di sandali. O pasata bali aleto bakala sita di sandali. O pasata bali aleto bakala sita di sandali aleto bakala sita di sandali. O pasata bali aleto bakala sita di sandali aleto bakala sita di. Was it about the letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria letter of the Calasitri? Or was it about the letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria? Or was it about the letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria? Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Palatabaria letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria letter of the Calasitri, Sandaria. O papari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasitri sandari. O pasata pari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasitri sandari. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Popara satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasitri sandari. Yes, 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 yes. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Popara satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari. O rata pari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasitri. Basandari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasitri sandari. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice that you've made. Thank you, Lord, for the new life that you have given to each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you that you are our salvation. Thank you that you are our wisdom from God. Thank you that you are our righteousness. Thank you that you are our holiness. Thank you that you are our redemption. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the position that you've given us. Thank you that we are seated in heavenly places with you. Thank you that you have made us perfect forever. Thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live according to your position. Thank you, Lord, that you are so merciful when we fail to do that. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and patience with us. Thank you, Lord, for the enabling that your Holy Spirit gives. Thank you that we are filled with power by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we have come to fullness of life in Christ. Thank you that we have that fullness within us to enable us to live the life that you call us to live. Thank you, Lord, that we do not belong to the world. Thank you that our citizenship is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. Thank you that we belong to heaven. That is where we truly belong. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that despite all our weakness, your grace is sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord, for all the ways in which you have used us, despite our failings and our failures. Thank you, Lord, that you pick us up and dust us down and give us another dose of truth and set us on our way in order to live more fully according to your life, according to our position in Christ. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Oh, Lord, there is so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But thank you, we're not apart from you, that we're living in you and you are living in us. Thank you that nothing is impossible for us because of our faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that we are going to live good lives. We're going to live fruitful lives. We're going to live lives that will bless you and glorify you. We're going to fulfill the destiny for which you've chosen and called us. Thank you, Lord, that we are going to see much fruit in our lives for the glory and honor and praise of your holy name. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Po parazatabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasinu. Come on, let's just lift our voices and praise him now. Papara satabari aleto bakalasitri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasitri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasutri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasinama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasutri sandari aleto bakalasinama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasinama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasinama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasutri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasutri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasutri sandari aleto bakalasinama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasutri barandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasutri sandari aleto mazundama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasutri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasutri sandari aleto bakalasutri sandama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandari aleto bakalasundama. Opa satabari aleto bakalasitri sandama.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So we're going to put some things to death now. If you've died, you can put to death things that no longer belong to you. So I'm just going to read the scriptures. Whichever of these things applies to you, put them to death. Don't just think about them. Don't just say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. Put the things to death. Say, that is no longer part of me. It doesn't belong to me. It's not who I am. I am who God says I am. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So thank God you have a heavenly nature. You belong to heaven, not to the earth. You're in the world, but you don't belong to the world. So put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, in any form, at any level, put it to death. That does not belong to me. It doesn't belong to my thinking. It doesn't belong to my desires, to my emotions. I set my mind on things above, not on earthly, lustful things. I put all that stuff to death. Impurity. In whatever form, Holy Spirit will show you whatever is impure. Put it to death. Say, that is no longer part of me. I am a holy child of God, holy and dearly loved. That's what the word says. I am holy and dearly loved. I'm not an impure person. I put all impurity to death in the name of Jesus. Lust, not only sexual lust, but lust for things, lust for position, lust for prestige, lust of desires that do not come from the will of God, but desires that come from the flesh. So put all those things to death. Lord, I'm not going to live in lust. I'm not going to live desiring what you do not desire for me. I put those things to death. Thank you that they were crucified when I was crucified with you. So according to your word, I can crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Put to death evil desires. Any desires that you have that are focused on self and not on God's purpose. Any desires that you know are not good according to God's word. Put them to death. Not just the wrong thinking, but the wrong desires. We put them to death. This is what the word of God says. This is what it declares. Put to death. Because your life is now hidden with Christ in God, put these things to death, because they're not part of your life in God. Greed, which is idolatry. Greed of any kind, not just food, but if food is your idol, put it to death. You'll need to eat, but not to be greedy. But there can be greed of other kinds, greed for money, greed for possessions, greed puts your desires above the desires of others. Put it to death. That's what the Word of God says. Put it to death. That's an attitude of heart and mind, isn't it? I put that to death. I'm not going to live in that any longer. That's no longer part of me. It might have been in the past, but it's no longer. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, put it to death. Don't just say, I'm an angry person. Don't say, I've got a problem with anger, because the Word of God says, put it to death. I put that anger to death in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rage. Well, are you a person that goes into rages sometimes? Put it to death. Don't just say, oh, that's me. Don't make excuses for yourself. Oh, it's because this, that, and the other happened to me in the past, therefore I'm an angry person. No, no, no. Just cut out all that nonsense. Put the anger to death. Put the rage to death. You have the Spirit, the life of the Spirit that enables you to do that. The life of the Spirit is greater than the natural. The anger is natural. The rage is natural. The life of the Spirit is supernatural. In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, put those things to death. Malice, thinking evil of others, wishing evil for others, doing things to them that are not good, wanting to pull others down, put it all to death. Put it to death. Slander, speaking against others, put it to death. In everything you're to give thanks. You can't give thanks and slander at the same time. You can't give thanks and be angry and full of rage at the same time. You can't give thanks to God and do any of these things at the same time. Filthy language from your lips. No coarse jokes, no innuendos, no swearing. Put it all to death. Put it to death. That's what the Scripture says, consign it to death. So those things no longer live. Just affirm, those things are no longer a part of me. They don't belong to me. They belong to the world, but I don't belong to the world. And those things of the world don't belong to me. I'm putting them to death. You don't need ministry. You don't need prayer. You just need to obey the Word and put them to death. Consign them to death in the name of Jesus. Do not lie to each other. No lying, because lies of the devil. He is the father of all lies. So no lies, but you will speak the truth, and you will speak the truth in love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We don't have lying lips, we have truthful lips. Thank you that we have lips that give life. Not that pull down, destroy, deceive. Put those lies to death in the name of Jesus. Since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator, just thank the Lord that you've put off the old life. That old life and those things that belong to the old life, they are no longer part of the new life. They are no longer part of you. They no longer belong to you. They no longer belong to you. None of those things belong to you. Anything else that you're conscious of now that you need to consign to death, put them to death. Maybe there's an area in which you've been struggling and you realize what you need to do is just put it to death, to recognize I have died. And when I died, that stuff died with me. It doesn't belong to my new life. It doesn't belong to my life in Christ. It's got nothing to do with my position in Christ. It's got nothing to do with the holy and beloved person that I am now. Those things I consign to death. Hallelujah. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. Right. Now start to clothe yourself. Get dressed. Get dressed spiritually. Clothe yourself with compassion. A compassionate heart. A heart of love. A heart of mercy. A heart of grace. Put on compassion. Come on, you choose to do this. Oh Lord, I choose to put on compassion, to become a compassionate person. Thank you that the Holy Spirit will enable that, will enable me to be a compassionate person. And the scripture says, put on kindness. That's related to compassion, isn't it? Come on, you're going to be a kind person, not a judgmental person, not a harsh person. Not a hard person with a hardened heart, but you put on kindness. Thank you, Jesus. You put on humility. Clothe yourself with humility. Thank the Lord that pride does not belong. Even though you have this exalted position, it's not because of what you've done, it's because of what He has given you. So clothe yourself with humility. Lord, I want to be a humble servant, to serve you, to serve others. I want a humble heart like you had, humble, gentle heart. I choose to clothe myself with humility. Hallelujah. With gentleness, because he had a humble, gentle heart. Paul puts those two things together. Humility, gentleness. I clothe myself with gentleness. I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be hard. I want to be kind. I want to be gentle. I want to be compassionate. I want to be loving. And the scripture says, clothe yourself with patience. You can see how all these things are related, aren't they? Just clothe yourself with patience. Well, thank you, Lord, I'm going to become a patient person, not an impatient person. Thank you, you've been infinitely patient with me and enable me to be patient with others and even patient with myself, not to get impatient and frustrated with myself. I choose to put on patience. Bear with each other. I choose to put that on, Lord. Attitude of mercy, kindness, patience towards others. Forgiving one another. Thank you, Lord. I choose to put on that merciful heart. That when others do things, I will forgive them. I won't judge. I won't condemn. I won't take offense. But I choose to put on the mantle of forgiveness. Praise you, Lord. To forgive as you have forgiven me. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So come on, put on love now. Put on love. The love of God, not just human love, but the love of God. That love that seeks the highest good of others. Put on love. which binds all these things together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to live in peace. I'm going to walk in peace, not in fear, not in anxiety, not in turmoil, not in conflict, but in peace. The peace of Christ will rule in my heart as a member of your body, because I am called to peace and to be thankful. Hallelujah. Come on, thank the Lord that he will give you the grace. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Come on, just affirm, Lord, your word is going to live in me. I'm going to live according to your word, according to the revelation of truth that you have given me. Praise God. I'm going to live more according to my position. Praise God, that you reveal in your word. The word of God is not going to just dwell a little bit. It's going to dwell in me richly. Praise you, Lord. And I'm going to teach, and I'm going to encourage, and wherever necessary, correct others with the truth in love. Thank you, Lord, because I'm going to be an example of the truth. Come on, praise God for this. Thank you, Lord. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, thank the Lord for this. Everything now. Everything in your name and for your glory. Can you see you're going to be a different person as a result of this? Not because you try, but because of what God is working in you. So just thank him now for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, who enables you to do everything in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So come on, let's finish by thanking him. Thank you, Lord, for that precious gift of your Spirit. Thank you that you will work out all these things in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we will keep putting these things to death so that they do not rise again. They do not become part of us again in the future, but we've said goodbye to these things. We put them to death. They no longer exist. They're no longer part of us. And we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who actually confirms these things. Thank you, Lord, for your stamp of approval upon us. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Poparre alla topacala sito di sandaria letter bacala zondama. Basandaria letter bacala sito di sandaria letter bacala zondama. Basandaria letter bacala sito di sandaria letter mazundama. Poparre a letter bacala sito di sandama. Bacala sito di sandaba bacala zundama. Popacala sito di sandama. Just as we finish, just listen to the truth version of chapter 3. You have been raised with Christ to share in his risen life. So set your hearts on heavenly things, for that is where Christ is now seated at God's right hand. You need to have heavenly thinking and not be restricted by mere worldly thoughts. Because you died with Christ, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Because he is your life, you will appear with him in glory when he comes again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's have a great shout of praise for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.